The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
On November the 21st, 1943, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a letter from Tegel Prison. And he writes this. He says, "A prison cell like this is a good analogy for Advent. One waits, hopes, does this or that. Ultimately, negligible things. The door is locked and can only be opened from the outside." The comparison between Advent and a prison cell may seem strange. It evokes the feelings of powerlessness, perhaps even hopelessness. However, it is this particular type of waiting that Bonhoeffer believes prepares us best for the coming of Jesus. This Christmas that we are approaching has been described like a Christmas like no other. Things are different this year. Things for some are harder this year, and things are more uncertain this year. And we can enter this time of Advent with some hesitation and dread, maybe. We all may feel an affinity with Bonhoeffer after spending the past 9 months, give or take, in our homes. Sometimes it can feel like we're trapped. And we can feel as though all our dreams of a wonderful Christmas are just on the other side of that door, just out of reach. I've thought about this a lot over the past 10 years or so, about Christmas. Because we all dream of the perfect Christmas. We all watch those cheesy Christmas movies. We all dream of peace on earth, goodwill to all. We all dream and hope for this, for the magic of Christmas to happen to us just this once. I've always dreamed for the magic of Christmas to happen to me, and unfortunately it never has. For me, over the past 10 years or so, Christmas has sometimes felt like an anticlimax, where you spend the day feeling far too hot and holding your tongue far too much. And no matter how much we dream or wish or try to make things perfect, we can be left with the reality. And that is sometimes hard to accept or endure. Through Advent and Christmas, we are going to be thinking about the theme of living hope. How in this season, in our context, both nationally and personally, how can we have a Christmas that is full of hope and joy? Our passage this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. And the one thing that I have learned is that if we are to understand what Isaiah tells us in this passage, we need to understand the context. So what is the context behind Isaiah 11? Well, the book of Isaiah was written by a man called Isaiah, and his name means the Lord saves. And the theme of this whole book is of judgment and redemption. He warns the Israelite nation of the threat of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, of judgment. But he also gives a message of hope for the future, and he points to the coming of the Messiah. In the previous chapter, Isaiah 10, at the very end of that chapter, we're left with the image of God chopping down the proud as if they were trees, mighty trees. Now the Lord is looking over the stumps of all these trees that have been cut down, and he causes a branch to grow out of one of them, just one, the root of the family of Jesse, David's father. God wanted this family to know that even though the Assyrians and others would bring to judgment, God would still use them and bring forth life from them. And even though they looked like a long dead stump, God was going to bring life. Not just life, salvation as well. And when I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about going for walks when I was younger and always loving to climb up and stand on top of a tree stump. And I don't think I've ever seen a tree stump with new life growing out of it. I think when you see a tree stump, you think, well, that tree's dead. But the image that Isaiah gives us in this passage is very powerful. And it reminds us about what really matters. What matters isn't the chopped down tree. It isn't the stump. It's not what dream of yours has been cut down. It's not what hope has been cut off. It isn't what part of your heart has been cut out. What matters is that you have a tree. Out of the last and forgotten sons of Jesse comes forth a tender branch, and this tree will grow into a crown of thorns, a cross, and a ladder back to God. The stump may be a broken down family. The stump may be hopelessness, but the shoot, this small branch, is hope. And Isaiah, he continues then to describe this shoot, this small hope, this glimmer of life out of death. And he writes that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that in the Bible, I was immediately taken to the New Testament. And these words are familiar because these are the words that Jesus uses to describe himself in Luke chapter 4. The passage reads, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to do a reading and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Two things jump out at me from this passage. The first thing is that he found the place where it was written. So Jesus chose to read this passage. In the whole book of Isaiah, he chose to read this one particular passage. Then he also reads this passage in first person. He uses the word me. He's talking about himself. And this is the passage that confirms that Isaiah, whether he knew it or not, was speaking of Jesus, of the Messiah. From this dead stump, God brings life. Out of this broken down kingdom, this broken down family, God brings forth a new kingdom and a new way of living. Not of violence and war, as these people were so not used to, but of hope and peace. You see, the Jewish people, the Israelite people, they were expecting a mighty king to come. They were expecting somebody to come with strength and power that would physically crush their enemies. But Jesus came to transform our world. He came to seek out the least and the lost and to bring God's children back from their rebellion. And Jesus would usher in a new kingdom, a new era, different from what anyone expected. Back to front, upside down. The passage goes on, and Isaiah, he describes the most violent animals, lions, bears, wolves, cobras, playing and snuggling with the weakest and most vulnerable, lambs, calves, babies. This is something new and different. This isn't common. Even now, this isn't common. I watch a program called Alaska, The Last Frontier on a TV channel called D-Max. People think I'm crazy, but I love it. And in this program, it talks about homesteaders who have built their homes in isolation. And they spend most of their time protecting their animals from bears and wolves. They would never put a bear or a wolf in with their cows. So this kingdom, this new era, is completely upside down from what is expected. This is unexpected. And this would only be possible through the unexpected, through a child born of a virgin, born in the dirt and the filth of real life. And this little child, Jesus, would be the catalyst that would change the whole world. Jesus is not only a banner for his proud family tree. He is not only a hope for his family. He is our Saviour, who brings us hope that cannot come any other way. Jesus turns cold, sinful and selfish hearts into warm hearts, at peace with God and peace with others. He smashes the darkness to bring us light. He is strength for the weary and the heavy laden. He brings joy to sorrow and he gives eternal life to everybody who asks for it. In verse 10, the last verse of our passage, Isaiah writes that in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him and his resting place will be glorious. Jesus didn't come just to save his own people. He came to draw all nations to himself, and that includes you and me. This story of life out of death, this story of hope from despair, is for all of us. Every single one of us is invited into the story, into the waiting and the anticipating for Jesus Christ to return. And that happens. It will be glorious. You see, Advent is a whole lot more than waiting for Christmas Day. Advent is a whole lot more than preparing for Christmas Day. It's a whole lot more than shopping and drinking hot chocolate and watching movies and going for long walks with lots of clothes on. Advent is ultimately about preparing the way for the light of Jesus in a world who is dying for light. Mm-hmm. Advent is a whole lot more than passively sitting and waiting for the King. It's about taking part in the work of the kingdom. The first Advent, when Jesus came, the incarnation of Jesus, that began the reconciliation of all things to God. And that reconciliation requires our participation. And when the second Advent comes, what we are waiting for, when Jesus returns in glory, that is the consummation of all things. And that begs us to anticipate. Advent is about practicing passionate participation in the kingdom of God and anticipation of his return. Maybe this year you need to experience Advent afresh. It happened to me 8 years ago that I found a whole new meaning in Advent. I was reignited by the meaning of the season. Maybe this year you need hope. Maybe this year you need some joy. Maybe this year you need some fire in your heart. Maybe this year you need to step outside your front door. Look around you at our world, striving and searching for things that will never satisfy, and become a participant in the reconciliatory work of God. Maybe this year, during Advent, we are being called to become active in the kingdom of God. No book or course or service or community can relight that fire within you. No great talk, no great encouragement can do that for you. It is only when we turn to Jesus, who is the hope, who is life out of death, who is the light in the darkness, can do that for you. Advent is a time to wait, but not passively sit and wait, not looking at the ceiling, not thinking about your lunch. Advent is a time to participate in waiting. And as we come to the end of this talk, I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to come and meet us right where we are and bring that thing that we desperately need. Let's pray. Lord, as we wait for you in this season of Advent, and as we light candles to show that you are the light of the world, I pray, Jesus, that you would light a fire in our hearts. I pray that you would forgive us for passively sitting and waiting for someone else to do something or for something to happen. Lord, I pray that we would become kingdom people, kingdom increasers, people who participate in your kingdom. People who not only eagerly await your return, but also people who participate in building your kingdom here on earth, in seeing the lost be found, in seeing the hopeless find hope, in seeing the sick be healed. Father, come, Holy Spirit, and alight that fire of passion within us. Use us, Lord, for your glory in this time and in this Advent season. Help us. Help us to understand the true meaning of your incarnation as a baby, but also the true meaning of your return one day in glory.